prisão hoje
me preso.
Aleluia.
Aleluia, aleluia, amém.
Le roi, c'est Jésus.
Alléluia, amen.
Le pain de vie, c'est toi, amen. Seigneur.
Le pain de vie.
Oh, le pain de vie, oh Jésus.
Le pain de vie.
Le pain de vie, c'est toi, Seigneur.
Le pain de vie.
Jésus, le pain de vie, oh Seigneur.
Le pain.
Caché, c'est Jésus.
La main cachée.
Oh, la main cachée, oh Jésus.
La main cachée.
Oui, la main cachée, c'est toi, Seigneur.
La main cachée.
Oh, la main cachée, oh Jésus.
La main cachée.
Nous t'exaltons, Seigneur.
Alléluia.
Jésus-Christ,
amen.
La main est cachée.
Alléluia, alléluia, amen.
Alléluia, Hosanna, alléluia, Hosanna na Yahweh, Hosanna na Yahweh, Hosanna, alléluia, alléluia.
Nous t'adorons, Seigneur.
Hallelujah, blessed Father. Thank you, O God. Hallelujah, for organizing this meeting for us. We pray, Father God, that every one of us will understand the reason for which you have brought us together this evening. Hallelujah, that we receive from you, O God, and we receive life. In the name of Jesus.
Oh, we pray that the Spirit of will grant us the Spirit of wisdom. In the knowledge of you. Let the eyes of understanding be
enlightened.
Circumcise our hearts.
And circumcise
our
ears.
We bind every spirit of discouragement.
We bind
every spirit of
confusion.
By the spirit that comes to cover when the people of God gather
together.
We receive your help for the
faithful.
We receive the oil of
your gladness.
Blessed be
your name. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God tonight for another opportunity to share fellowship together. Hallelujah. The things that we seek are precious things. Hallelujah. They are treasures. And the enemy will do his very best to hinder and to discourage us. Hallelujah. But God is looking for people who will not stop, who will not give up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Until they get what they are looking for. Praise the name of the Lord. We are looking for life. Praise the name of the Lord. The greatest gift that God has to give us is His own life. Hallelujah. It's not a house. It's not a car. It's not even streets of gold. Hallelujah. It's His own life. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's quickly turn to Luke chapter 1. I want to start reading from verse 5. Hallelujah. We read from verse 5 unto 1. Luke chapter 1, yes. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There was in those days, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah, of the courts of Abia, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the customs of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight I have a burden in my heart. Okay, the French listen. Oh, beautiful, please. From 5 to 17.
Et ils étaient l'un et l'autre avancés en âge. Or, pendant qu'il s'acquittait de ses fonctions devant Dieu, selon le cours de sa place, il fut appelé par le sort, d'après la règle du sacerdoce, à entrer dans le temple du Seigneur pour offrir le parfum. Toute la multitude du peuple était dehors en prière à l'heure du parfum. Alors un ange du Seigneur apparut à Zacharie et s'éteint debout à droite de l'autel des parfums. Zacharie fut troublé en le voyant, et la frayeur s'empara de lui. Mais l'ange lui dit, « Ne crains point, Zacharie, car ta prière a été exaucée. Ta femme Élisabeth t'enfantera un fils, et tu lui donneras le nom de Jean. Il sera pour toi un sujet de joie et d'allégresse, et plusieurs se réjouiront de sa naissance, car il sera grand devant le Seigneur. Il ne boira ni vin, ni liqueur enivrante, et il sera rempli de l'Esprit Saint, de le sein de sa mère. » Il ramènera plusieurs des fils d'Israël au Seigneur, leur Dieu. Il marchera devant Dieu avec l'esprit et la puissance d'Élie pour ramener les cœurs des pères vers leurs enfants et les rebelles à la sagesse des justes, afin de préparer au Seigneur un peuple bien disposé. Amen.
Amen. Alléluia.
Amen.
I have a burden in my heart tonight. And it has to do with the time of incense. Hallelujah. The time of incense. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. This is a story that I believe is familiar a bit to us. And we trust the Lord will speak to our hearts tonight. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us there was this couple, and they were of the house of Aaron the priest. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the man's name was Zechariah, and he was a priest, and he was of the order of the priesthood. Hallelujah. And the priest class in Israel were divided into 24 groups. There were so many that they had to be. Hallelujah. So every man, there was a roster. Roster is like a schedule of service. So you minister when your own time comes. Praise the name of the Lord. And Zechariah was doing his office at the time of the evening sacrifice. Hallelujah. I want us to read from Exodus chapter 30, probably to give us a little idea. Exodus 30, read from verse 1. Okay, maybe you read in French this time, from verse 1 to verse 10.
Exode chapitre 30, à partir du 1er jusqu'au 10e verset.
Exode 30, verset 1er jusqu'au 10e verset, les colons du pays. Tu feras un autel pour brûler les parfums. Tu les feras de bois d'acacia. Sa longueur sera d'une coudée et sa largeur d'une coudée. Il sera carré et sa hauteur sera de deux coudées. Tu feras des cornes qui sortiront de l'autel. Tu les couvriras d'or pur, les dessus, les côtés tout autour et les cornes, et tu y feras une bordure d'or tout autour. Tu feras au-dessous de la bordure deux anneaux d'or aux deux côtés. Tu en mettras aux deux côtés pour recevoir les barres qui serviront à les porter. Tu feras les barres de bois d'acacia et tu les couvriras d'or. Tu placeras l'autel en face du voile qui est devant l'arche du témoignage, en face du propitiatoire qui est sur le témoignage, et où je me rencontrerai avec toi. Aaron y fera brûler du parfum au jour différent. Il en fera brûler chaque matin lorsqu'il préparera les lampes. Il en fera brûler aussi entre les deux soirs lorsqu'il arrangera les lampes. C'est ainsi que l'on brûlera à perpétuité du parfum devant l'Éternel parmi vos descendants. Vous n'offrirez sur l'autel ni parfum étranger, ni holocauste, ni offrande, et vous n'y répandrez aucune libation. Une fois chaque année, Aaron fera des expiations sur les cornes de l'autel. Avec le sang de la victime expiatoire, il sera fait des expiations une fois chaque année parmi vos descendants. Ce sera une chose très sainte devant l'Éternel. Amen.
Alléluia. Praise the Lord. Alléluia. So Aaron was a priest. Sorry, Zechariah was a priest before the Lord. And he was doing the ministry and the service of the priest. He was burning incense before the Lord. As we read here in Exodus chapter 30, God told Moses to make an altar of incense. That altar was made of wood, sheeting wood, and it was covered with gold. It was four square. It had horns at the four ends. Hallelujah. And the ministry of the priest was every morning and every evening he would come to tend to the lamps. Hallelujah. Trim the wicks of the lamps and add more oil to the lamp.
And
while he is doing that, he would go to this altar and he would pour incense upon the altar. Hallelujah. He was to do this every morning and every evening. And this was to be a perpetual ministry unto the Lord. It was to be a continuous offering unto God. So it was this responsibility that Zechariah was doing in the temple. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Now, before this time, for 400 years, in Israel, there had been no word from the Lord. There had been no prophecy. There have been no revelation. There have been no visitation. Hallelujah. Amen. God had not communicated with his people. Praise the name of the Lord. We're also going to see what that means. But let's take a little look at this man, Zechariah, and his wife, Elizabeth. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible tells us that they were faithful men. They were men that feared God. And, you know, Zechariah and Elizabeth had no children. Now, that is a bit strange. The Jews believe that if a man is faithful and serves God, that God will give him children. So that physical blessing was the evidence of a man who is worshipping God. But this man, the Bible says, we are faithful men. They feared God. They served God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And yet they had no children. But we noted that this did not, you know, discourage them. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Their physical circumstances did not discourage them. It was obvious that God kept them like that for a purpose. Hallelujah. Mm. We are living in a time when the material blessing has become the, you know, most important thing in Christianity. You know, people are seeking God for what they can get from God. You know, but the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth was a testimony to the contrary. In spite of all the seeming disabilities, in spite of the lack in their lives, Zechariah was faithfully ministering before the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. His ministry was beyond what he could get from God. He loved God with all his heart. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. And the Bible tells us something very peculiar. That it was the time of incense. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. In other words, it was a time when incense was to be offered before the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. There were two sacrifices, like we said. There was a morning sacrifice, and there was an evening sacrifice. Now, this was the time of the evening sacrifice. And Zechariah was by the altar of incense. Now, it's important that we notice this. I believe that my brother will be speaking later this weekend about the tabernacle of Moses. But this altar was a very peculiar instrument. Praise the name of the Lord. It represented a level of consecration that God is going to require of all those who want to move on with him. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When a man is born again, he comes into the sanctuary of, you know, the tabernacle of Moses. There was the first altar that he met. That altar was the altar of brass. Of brass. Praise the name of the Lord. That is the place where our sins are forgiven. That is the beginning of our relationship with God. Hallelujah. But our relationship with God does not end there. Praise the name of the Lord. When we come to that altar, two things happen there. One is that we lose our life. The other is that we receive God's life. Hallelujah. That life that God has given you is what He now requires that you offer Him again. Hallelujah. Abraham had no son. He had no life. God gave him a son. Hallelujah. Amen. And God now said, this son I have given you, give him back to me. He speaks about a level of consecration unto God that God is going to require of all those who want to move on with Him. God was testing Abraham's heart. Hallelujah. He was testing Abraham's heart to know, is there anything that Abraham can keep back from me? Is there anything I can ask of this man and he will withhold it from me? God will test all of us like that. Because there's something God wants to give Abraham. Hallelujah. Amen. Much more than Isaac. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God gave Abraham Isaac. And he tested him and said, give him back to me. When Abraham was able to give Isaac back to the Lord, God now opened his storehouse. He said, now I know. Now I'm convinced about you. Seeing that you could not withhold your only son from me. Hallelujah. I'm blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. Now, God opened another level of blessing unto Abraham. Because he had tested him. And found out that Abraham could give all unto God. Now, this altar of incense is a place of giving all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This altar of incense is a place of giving all. Now, I pray that we understand this. Because that's the crux of what God is doing right now. This is a time of incense. Now, for those who come to this altar of incense, certain things are going to happen. Hallelujah. While the rest of the people are outside praying. Hallelujah. The generality of Christians are outside. At the outer court. The generality of Christians. Hallelujah. Some are going to be somewhere where they will have encounters with God. Hallelujah. Are we together? So this altar represents the place of giving all. There was a woman, she was a widow. Hallelujah. And she came to bring an offering to the Lord. Others were giving offerings. But this woman gave just 2 mites. But it was all that she had. And the Lord was watching. Every time we come to bring an offering before the Lord, the Lord is watching. Hallelujah. He stood at the temple. He was observing what each person was giving. By the time everyone was leaving the temple, the Lord knew exactly the offerings they had made. And he observed to his disciples that this woman has given more than all of these people together. Because she gave all. Praise the name of the Lord. The place, the altar of incense, is the place where we give to God all. Nothing left. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God is going to test every one of us. He's going to make certain demands of us. Not because he's interested in that thing. He's actually interested in the heart. You see, I was asking the Lord a question sometime about giving. Praise the name of the Lord. Why does he ask us to give? And he told me something very interesting. He said, naturally we are attached to material things. Hallelujah. I hope I got this right. Hallelujah. Naturally we are attached to material things. The soul of a man, which is what this altar represented, has an attachment to material things. We treasure these things. We hold on to them. We feel that that is our life. The Bible says, wherever a man's treasure is, that is where his heart will be. Hallelujah. And so God gives us treasures. Then he asks us to give them back to him. Hallelujah. He's testing our hearts towards him. When we're able to release those things back to God again, God initiates us into another dimension of blessing. Blessing beyond the material. Hallelujah. Blessings that the eyes cannot see. Blessings that have to do with the kingdom of God. Blessings that have to do with God's own very life. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, there was a morning sacrifice. And Jesus himself offered the morning sacrifice. Praise the name of the Lord. He offered the morning sacrifice. And the Bible says we are to follow in his footsteps. The Bible says we are to follow in his footsteps. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the Jews had in a day, they had different times of the day. They divided the day into four parts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The day started in the evening. Praise the name of the Lord. And ended in the evening. Their day started by 6 p.m. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And it was divided into four parts. The 12th hour. The 3rd hour. The 6th hour. The 9th hour. And the 12th hour again. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus, you know, is a pattern, his life is a pattern for us. There were three things peculiarly he did. The parable of the laborers. He said that a husbandman went out into the market in the morning to get laborers. The first call he made was in the 3rd hour. That's about 9 a.m. in the morning. Praise the name of the Lord. He called the first set of laborers. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, when Jesus was also crucified, he was crucified in the 3rd hour. That's 9 a.m. in the morning. When the baptism of the Holy Ghost came, they were baptized in the 3rd hour. At 9 a.m. in the morning. Praise the name of the Lord. So prophetically speaking, God's program commences in the morning at the 9th hour. This was the time when the morning sacrifice, the incense, was offered in the morning. Hallelujah. So the Jews had two times in a day when they will go to the temple, hallelujah, for these offerings, praise the name of the Lord, the ninth hour and the third hour, and the ninth hour. So 9 a.m. in the morning and 3 p.m. in the evening. Praise the name of the Lord. So 9 a.m. in the morning was the time of the morning sacrifice. And Jesus offered that sacrifice. He laid down his life. He gave up his life. He yielded up his life as an offering unto God. And the Bible says we are to follow in his footsteps by offering all unto God. Jesus, he gave up his family. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He gave up his job. Everything was an offering unto God. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God is going to require the same of us. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Lay them down in our hearts unto God. So, you know, give up everything unto God. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And so this is what that offering of incense represents. It is the offering of our souls, our minds, our desires, our will, our emotions, offered unto God. It is a place where our personality, our ambitions, the things that we want in life, we lay them before God and say, God, you are more important than these things. You will take precedence over these things. I am willing to give up this. I'm willing to give up this. These are the things that men consider important. But in my heart, I'll put them on the table. And really, every one of us, at one point in time in our lives, God will put us in a position where we will have to decide what is most important in our life. Whatever you decide that is most important, God will give it to you. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Whatever you say, this is the most important in my life, God will give it to you. So make sure that you know the most important thing in your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because God will put you in a position where you will seemingly have to make a choice. If you are willing to give up your natural life and the things that constitute this natural life in order to obtain that life, God will not only give you this one, he will also give you the other one. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It sounds easy, but when God puts you in that test, usually you do not know that you're being tested. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But God tests the heart. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So there is a time of incense when we will need to make this offering before God. And this was where Zechariah found himself. In spite of the fact that it was like he was not getting what the others were getting, he was faithfully ministering to the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Incense is a type of prayer. Incense is a type of prayer. He said, the psalm, in the book of Psalms, he said, let my prayer come before you like incense. He says, let the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you look through the scriptures, you know, incense represents the heart offered before God in prayer. It represents a consecration unto God. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And so God has a plan to begin to visit certain people who come to the altar of incense. Not every Christian will come to this point. Not every Christian will progress to this point. So we see God drawing us, calling us. So let us leave the elementary things behind. And let us move on to perfection. Let us move on to the place of laying down all. Let us move. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Today's Christianity,
the law, Christianity,
it's all about what you can get from God. But God's own program right now, it's all about what you can offer to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's all about the offering that God is requiring from you. So while the crowd is outside, praise the name of the Lord, asking God for house, for car, and blessings, Zechariah is inside
and
laying himself before the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
At the end of the day, God visited Zechariah. Praise the name of the Lord. And say something is about to happen to your life. In that area of your life where you have not been fruitful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Where you have not been able to bring forth life. Where you have had limitations. I'm going to bring forth something out of you. I'm going to raise up a ministry through you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The ministry that was to come to Zechariah was a ministry of Elijah. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
A ministry that was going to prepare the hearts of the people. Because God was about to visit Israel. After 400 years, God was about to visit Israel again. But the hearts of the people needed to be prepared. Because the heart of the people had turned away from God. Now, many of us, we know the story of Elijah. Praise the name of the Lord. At the time Elijah came, the people of Israel were worshipping Baal. Now, who is Baal? Baal is the god of the material. It is the spirit that converts every spiritual thing into material thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The anointing that God gives a man is for him to get a house, to get a car, to get this blessing, to get that blessing, to acquire money, to become very famous. And this was what had overtaken the hearts of the people of God. That is Baal. Baal means possessor. It's a thing that is attached to material possessions.
Possessor of the people.
Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so this was what the heart of Israel was set upon. And God raised up Elijah. And this was what the angel spoke to Zechariah. I'm going to bring up a ministry to you. I'm going to put a grace upon you. I'm going to anoint you in a peculiar way to begin to turn the heart of the people again back to the Lord. The burden God has put in our hearts as we go through Africa is to turn the heart of people back to the Lord again. Our focus must be upon the Lord. He says to prepare the heart of the people, because God is about to visit again. And this visitation requires a right heart. This is what the altar of incense represents. A heart prepared before God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so this was the time of incense. And God is saying, turn your heart to me. Elijah told to the people, Elijah spoke to the people. Say, how long will you hold between two opinions?
How long?
Will you stand what between two opinions? Hallelujah. If God is God, serve Him. We're in a time when we must decide that whether God is God. So that we can serve Him. Hallelujah. Or if the world is more important, let us go after the world. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so a choice had to be made at that time. It was a time when the altar of the Lord had to be rebuilt again. This is speaking about the altar of incense again. So the prophets of Baal prophesied from morning until the time of the evening sacrifice. When the time of the evening sacrifice came, Elijah said, "It is now my turn." Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he began to call the people to him. Say, "Come nearer to me." And the people began to draw nearer to the Lord. God is raising up a ministry today that will cause the people to draw near. They will not worship God from afar anymore. And when the people drew near to the Lord, He began to repair the altar. Hallelujah. There are altars in our lives that need to be repaired. There are places of consecration that God needs to put back again. There are decisions that are in our lives that we need to make again. We need to tell God that you are the most important thing again in my life. That I'm willing to give up anything for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God needs to know that. Because when Abraham made that offering to God, God told Abraham, "Now I know. I now know what is in your heart." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God told the children of Israel, "I passed you through these experiences in the wilderness so that I can prove you, so that I can know what is in your heart, whether you will obey me or not." Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so Elijah began to repair the altar of the Lord. Hallelujah. And he began to bring that offering that God required. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he made that offering. And the glory of the Lord returned to
Israel.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Finally, there was another man, his name was Cornelius. In the book of Acts. Yes, Acts chapter 10. He was a Gentile. But he was a man, a convert. He feared God. Hallelujah. The Jews will call the Gentiles that converted to, their religion. They call them the God-fearers.
What are you talking about? Gentiles?
Sorry. When Gentiles...
Pagans,
yes. Heathen. Yes. Those who are non-Jews. Praise the name of the Lord. Some of them began to worship the God of Israel. So they called them proselytes. Proselytes, that's converts. Converts. You know, the term they use, they call them God-fearers. The God-fearers. So Cornelius was a God-fearer. Hallelujah. And he was seeking God. He had been seeking God. He was hungry for more of God. He was going to the temple. He would stay in the court of the Gentiles, worshipping God from afar. But his heart wanted more. And God saw his heart. This man had been praying and fasting. He said, "God, there must be something more than all of these things I'm seeing." Praise the name of the Lord. There must be something more. And at the hour of incense, at the ninth hour, That same time of the evening sacrifice, he was praying before the Lord. And a man appeared to him in bright raiment and said, "Your prayers have been answered." Hallelujah. God is about to answer our prayers. Now, if you have been bringing an offering before the Lord, if your heart has been hungry for something more in God, there is a ministry that God is raising up at this hour. Hallelujah. To introduce you to another dimension of experience. Hallelujah. He said, send for a man called Peter. He said, send for a man called Peter. And he will tell you what you are to do. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, Peter had been praying. Praise the name of the Lord. He was praying at the sixth hour. Now there's something peculiar about the sixth hour. Praise the name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The sixth hour is the time of darkness. Jesus was crucified at the third hour. He hung on the cross from the third hour to the sixth hour. By the sixth hour, darkness came upon the whole land. And this darkness was from the sixth hour unto the ninth hour. Hallelujah. At the ninth hour, light begins to come again. And so the Lord begins to say, "Arise and shine." Hallelujah. For your light is come. Our light begins to shine again from the ninth hour. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Cornelius saw a man in shining raiment. The whole room was lightened up again. Understanding began to come to him at the ninth hour. He said, "Well, darkness will cover the earth. And gross darkness will cover the people, the church. But the Lord will begin to arise upon you." Because it is the time of incense. It is the time when God begins to visit people whose hearts have been right before Him. And we believe that this visitation has started. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Finally, I want to use one more illustration and I'll close. Peter and John went to the temple. It was a time of incense. It was a time of the evening sacrifice. It was the ninth hour. They went to the temple to pray. Hallelujah. There they met a man. This man had been crippled from birth. Hallelujah. He had been crippled from birth. So he sat by the beautiful gate. Now every morning, his friends will carry him and keep him by the beautiful gate. At the end of the day, they will carry him and take him back to the house. He could not walk on his own. Praise the name of the Lord. There are many people like that today. They cannot walk in righteousness. They cannot walk in the things of the Spirit. The pastor will carry them in the morning. The pastor will carry them in the evening. Hallelujah. He said, from birth, that has been their experience. Since they got born again. Since they became born again, they have always been carried. But something was about to change. Because it was a time of incense. It was the time of the evening sacrifice. A ministry was rising up that would bring about a change in their lives. So when Peter and John came, this man was looking at them. He was expecting silver and gold from them. Hallelujah. All the ministry that they had been receiving, all that he had known, was the ministry of silver and gold. It was the ministry of prosperity. Hallelujah. Everything about the gospel was all about money. Hallelujah. So he was expecting the same thing again. Ministry after ministry will come, and they will teach him the keys to prosperity. And yet the man was still crippled. He was still there. Hallelujah. Amen. He could not move. Every day the man would see men enter the temple, and then he would see them come out from the temple, and they would tell of glorious things. But the man, for him it was a story. A story. That was his experience as a Christian. It was all hearsay. It was all hearsay. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
That man had not experienced it for himself. So he was looking at Peter. He was looking at John. He was still expecting money from them. Peter said, silver and gold we have none. That's not what we came to tell you. Hallelujah. That's not what we came to tell you. But we have something for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. The word of God is able to strengthen our feet. Hallelujah. He said, the lame shall leap for joy. And the Bible says strength came into his feet. May strength come into our feet tonight. May we rise up, hallelujah, from the limitations in our lives. And this man jumped to his feet. Hallelujah. He took hold of Peter and John. He was leaping, he was jumping, and he entered with them into the temple. That was the greatest need of his life. David said, one thing have I desired, that will I seek after, beyond silver and gold, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple.
Sorry?
And to, you know, seek God. Hallelujah. And this man entered the temple. For the first time in his life, he saw the golden altar of incense. He saw the brazen altar. Hallelujah. He saw the brazen lava. He saw the lava of brass. These things were no longer stories. Hallelujah. He was now an experience in his life. The veil was taken away. Hallelujah. He could now begin to behold God. This was the time of incense. We are in the time of incense. Hallelujah. And God has put something on the table for us. That same, the next day, somebody will see that same man. I said, I could have sworn, you look like somebody I used to know. Hallelujah. Somebody says, is that the man? The other one said, no, that's not the man. I know this man is a cripple. The man said, I am the man. Something had changed about him. Hallelujah. His testimony has changed. His story had changed. Something had changed about his personality. And he said, what happened to you? Hallelujah. He said, the Lord visited me. Praise the name of the Lord. So this is the time of visitation, brethren. Hallelujah. As we begin to bring this offering before the Lord, even though God had been silent for 400 years, God is speaking again to his people. God is visiting his people again. He said, many shall have joy at his birth. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So God is looking for an offering from you. Hallelujah. I'm believing God that we will talk more about the altar of incense. Because that is the place God is calling you to. It is the place of the salvation of our soul. It is the place that God is saying you must come to. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I pray that the Lord will touch our hearts. That we begin to seek Him. To desire Him. Ask Him what He requires of you. Our offerings might differ. Because our circumstances will differ. But at the end of the day, we are to present our bodies and our faculties, our soul, as a living sacrifice unto God. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you.
Just before we pray, just to add that there's a timing, you know, to this word that God is giving to us. Because God works with time. And our own time is different from God's time. And if you look at Genesis chapter 1, it tells us a little bit about God's time. It talks about the first day up till the sixth and then the seventh day. And after the sixth day, we enter the time of rest in the seventh day. And the sixth day began with the morning and the evening, as he has explained. And the thing about the evening sacrifice is that it's an offering that is made during the time of darkness. And when the offering is brought, the fire must continue to burn all through the night. And in the experience of the world, we have come. We are gradually coming to a point of midnight. A time of darkness. And darkness covers. It brings a covering upon men, upon the soul. And in the time of darkness, men do not see light, do not have discernment to be able to bring the right offering. And the Bible says that there is something that God does at the time of this evening sacrifice to enable His people to bring this offering. And what happens is that a trumpet begins to blow. A trumpet is a message from God. And when God begins to speak, He speaks in a realm. God doesn't speak the way men speak. A better way to understand is that God speaks in a wavelength.
What do you mean wavelength?
God speaks in a dimension. For instance, if you put on the television, that's a wavelength. That's a realm of transmission that you can hear from God. Frequency. Okay, frequency.
Zambe alubaka na fréquence lokola soki to fongoli television. Television ndenge ebandaka koloba ezali na nzela ya fréquence.
So that is what men are using to be able to also communicate. So God speaks in a frequency. And anyone who is tuned to that frequency begins to hear what God is saying. It doesn't really matter where you are. Or what your circumstance is. You know, you can see Cornelius. Even someone like Zacchaeus. Different men in different situations. Even the blind man. Even the man that was lame. Now all these situations reflect situations in our soul. And God is beginning to sound the trumpet to his people. And God is putting his finger somewhere. And he's putting his finger on the soul. You know, the church has been playing around for a long time. And God says, what shall it profit a man to gain all the world than to lose his soul? And as you mentioned, the offering God is looking for is the offering of the soul. That is the evening sacrifice. And Jesus said there are two commandments. He says the first one, say thou will love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all, everything. And you see, it's still coming down to the same thing. That at this time, there is a demand that God is making. It's a demand on the inward parts of our soul. Our inward parts. Yes. And the church has we have spent so much time, you know, talking about the externals, talking about what that which is outside the heart. Which is more like the Old Testament. But the New Testament goes for the real thing. See, God looketh on the inward man. Why men look at the outward? And he says that God says, he said, my son, give me your heart. So at this time, there is a call. God is looking for an offering of our hearts, of our souls, of this evening sacrifice. And it's an offering that God cannot refuse. It is an offering that God cannot reject. He says, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not reject. Every one of us has the ability to bring this offering. But we have been distracted. And the word that is coming to us is to bring our attention. To understand that God is expecting an offering from us. Now, there is a reason why we are distracted. Because we are trying to serve two masters. Because we are halting between two opinions. The Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there was a physical temple. There was a physical priesthood. And there were offerings that were to be made. Even the Zechariah he talked about was ministering according to the order of the Old Testament. And there were people who were specifically designated to be priests. In the Old Testament, priesthood was by birth. Was the person who your father is. Zachariah, his father was a priest, so he too had to be a priest. But Jesus, his father was not a priest physically. So he had nothing to do with that order of priesthood. In the Old Testament, if you wanted to bring an offering, you must go to the temple. So he said three times in a year, everyone, every male must go to the temple to bring his offering. So there were a lot of limitations. But Hebrews tells us that in the New Testament it is different. In the New Testament, the temple is different from the Old Testament temple. In the New Testament, the Bible says that the temple are the individuals that come to God. So when Jesus came, he began to address that major issue that was in the church that is still there today. So Jesus said, if you destroy this physical temple, in 3 days I will raise it up. And the people were saying, how can you destroy this temple and raise it up in 3 years? It took 46 years to build. But the Bible said that Jesus spoke of the temple of his body. And that is the great conflict that we find in the church. In our mind, when we think of an offering, we are thinking of a physical place to go to make our offering. We do not realize that God's order has changed. So we are like that lame man who is expecting people to carry him to go into the temple so that he can make his offering. When he could have been giving his offering in his circumstance, in his situation. So God says that you are the temple of the living God. So that is the standard that God is going to judge you and me, that we are the temple of the living
God.
And in this temple that you are, there is an altar. That altar is your heart. That altar is your soul. That altar is made up of the four different natures in your soul. I believe in God that in the days to come we'll be able to talk more about this aspect of you know, this altar that we're talking of. This altar is made up of the mind, the emotions, the desire, and the will. And these are the altar where the offering is being expected from you. But the truth of the matter is that we are actually bringing forth offerings without knowing it. Every day we are bringing offerings. The truth is that the offering is being given to somebody else. The devil is the one that is taking the offering. We are physically in church, but our hearts are somewhere else. And that is the great problem that is in the church. So God said that these people draw near me, but their heart is far away. So that's why God is speaking about the evening sacrifice. Because the evening sacrifice is when the altar must be repaired. It is a time of visitation. It's a time when the rain begins to come. It's a time when the drought is over. It's a time when God stops the drought and begins to bring refreshing upon us. It's a time when God changes our focus. Instead of looking at the pastors to carry us into the temple, instead of depending on men to bring us into the presence of God, we begin to realize that we are the temple of the living God. There is no temple that does not have a priest. The priest in this temple is your soul. The people that should bring the offering is the mind, the emotion, the will, and the desire. Those are the offerings that God is expecting. While the church is sleeping, the devil is going through the back door, and he's taking the minds of people. Internet. Communication. There are different types. You are confused. Before you finish with iPhone, they bring the Android phone. They understand what I'm saying. Before you finish the iPhone, they bring iPad.
iPad.
The mind is being stolen by the devil. You are a rich Christian, you call yourself. But your mind is taken over by something, by your spirit. So you are bringing forth offerings. And you are strengthening the devil in his enterprise without knowing it. How about the emotions? The devil is bombarding emotion from right, left, and center. Instead of your emotion being in the condition that can be acceptable to God, the devil is bombarding it so that it is in a condition that is pleasing to him, the devil. The devil grows, in fact, feeds on darkness. He is the king of darkness. He is the god of the darkness. Anything that is darkness gives him life. If your soul is in a condition of darkness, then the devil will be very happy with you. It doesn't really matter what you call yourself or I call myself. It comes down to what is the condition of your emotions. What is the condition of my desires? What is the condition of my will? It is very, the truth is very bitter. Even for me myself. But the truth is that there is either light or darkness. Modern Christians have designed a new one called light and darkness together. That's we Christians, we are designing a new one called light and darkness together. If we are designing a place of mixture for ourselves. So God says, you're neither hot or cold. You are confusing me. You are confusing me. You are neither cold or hot. So decide which one you will be. Either you will be cold or you are hot. Either you will be darkness or be light. And that's what God is saying. And I think that's what God is saying to us this night. He's expecting an offering. Every one of us is bringing forth an offering. And our offering is classified into two. Either light or darkness. We would have loved that there's a third class of light and darkness. We would have preferred a place of mixture. It will serve us very well. But God says, that is confusing me. I will prefer light or darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's a word of repentance for us. That we must consider our offerings. We cannot be in the New Testament and operate in the Old Testament. It's like the man that was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Can you imagine? He wanted to bring his offering. He wanted to bring an offering. And then he left the place of offering in Jerusalem and was going to Jericho. And then he had a very rough experience. That is what happens when we are living in the New Testament and we operate in the Old. And that is the history of the church. And God is saying, I will not have it anymore. So God is saying we should change our focus to realize that we are the temple of the living God. And in this temple there must be offerings. And God is looking for those offerings. God expects an offering from you. And He's giving us a chance at this time of the evening sacrifice to come to Him in repentance. I say, Lord, repair our altar. Visit me again. When they repair the altar, there are some major things that happen. He said that Elijah repaired the altar. He brought the stones, 12 stones. 12 stones. And he said they should bring water. They began to pour water on the stones. And they poured water and poured water. So they should bring seed and put it on it. Seed. And they brought it. And they said they should not bring the sacrifice. And as they sacrificed, the Bible says that the fire came down upon the altar. You know, there are many of us, our hearts are cold. In the morning, no word from God. When we open the Bible, we're not really receiving hearing from God. We are not connected to heaven. It's just dryness. We're just struggling and going through motions. But the Bible said that at the time of the evening sacrifice, the fire came. And as we go on tomorrow, we'll be able to show more detail regarding about this fire. The fire is what shows that God has accepted the sacrifice. It may be very bitter. But if there is no fire upon the sacrifice, God has not accepted it. And God is saying that if we are the temple of the living God, and if we are the altar, and if we are bringing the sacrifice, they mean that our hearts must be on fire. If our hearts are on fire, then it means that God, we are having a true relationship with God. A cold heart shows that there's a problem. And every one of us knows when we are cold. When the heart is cold, it means the fire has gone off. Fire is a function of the oil that is there. If the oil is there, the fire will burn. When the oil goes out, the fire is also down. The oil speaks of the oil of the Holy Ghost. And the bride must have oil in her vessel. Bible said that at midnight the oil of the foolish virgin went out.
Say
there are two groups in the church, the wise virgin and the foolish virgin. And it says that midnight will separate two of them. And God is telling us that midnight is coming. That is when the two groups in the church will be separated. The wise virgin, the oil will be running. Therefore, their fire will be on. The foolish virgin, they had fire before, yes? But because there was no oil. At midnight, the oil ran out. And the fire was quenched. Or it's just quivering. Or it's just smoldering. But God says, do not quench the fire. God will always give us an opportunity. Say, don't quench. A smoking flask, he will not quench. A smoking flask, he will not quench. Or a bruised reed that he will not break completely.
Eh?
A reed. Sometimes it's bruised.
It is blunt. Is it blunt?
It's something that is bruised. That is something that is.
Bruce.
Yes, you may have an injury. Yes. So, and that is the condition our heart is in. That is either our light is just we're just managing to get on.
Or
we have been wounded. We have been bruised. We have been wounded. And today he can pour in the oil and the wine and bring the healing. So I believe that we should have a time to respond to God. We're asking God, say, look at our hearts. You know the condition. To bring in the oil and the wine to heal our hearts. The reason why we're hearing this message shows that God is already showing us favor. And he says, when he sends his word, it will not come back without accomplishing the purpose for which he sent it. And the Bible said that you are healed by the word that I have given to you. And he says, the entrance of your word bringeth light. And he also says that the word of God converts the soul. So our conditions, if we open our hearts, the Lord is able to heal it. But it is on the condition that we cry out to God. That we open our hearts and we respond to Him. So I believe that we should have some time to just pray and just reflect and respond to God. It's a message for every one of us. Praise the Lord.
Oh, Jesus. Let me to live. Yeah.
personne, il n'y a rien pour comparer avec toi. Je prends plaisir à t'adorer, Seigneur.
Hey.